myself.
Because you've been doing a lot of that this week.
I'm practicing my old guy noises. Those are my old man noises. You gotta practice that. You gotta get good at it, you know? I mean...
Yeah, but you've been doing harder work than most 20-year-olds do, and they'd be whining about it.
Yeah, whine enough. I like a little bread and cheese with it every once in a while. You know?
That's not a bad thing, I guess. But it's all coming along unbelievably well out there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm talking to my daughter. She lives up in Gainesville. And Gainesville's a college town. And, you know, my daughter's, she's in her early 30s. And it's just kind of funny. You know, they get all excited and they're buying all this stuff online. Well, she went to go out with her husband to go Christmas shopping for the kids and look for stuff to find and everything. And one store after another is closed up and gone. And the basic thing is young people want to buy their stuff on the internet. And so stores are going out of business left and right. And, you know, kids want to buy on the internet. It's all good. But the stores that are left now are running into the same problem that we had. When we had become an internet showroom, people would come in, spend a half hour, 45 minutes with you, Robert Nature, across from me, Fish and Frank here, or, you know, one of the guys in the shop, and it's a half hour, 45 minutes, you know, talking to them, explaining the reel, they're playing with it, and doing that, and they say, okay, well, we'll be back, you know, just wanted to think about it, and they come back in a few days with a reel they bought on the internet, and say, can you put some line on this? And so I was spending, I know, a minimum of $1,500 a month, probably $2,000 a month on payroll for people to come in and look at the reels and stuff and then go buy them on the internet.
Right.
And so we just about quit selling fishing reels. We were getting out of the fishing reel market. And because it just wasn't worth it anymore. For every reel we sold, the amount of labor it took not to sell the other reels.
Right.
And the companies were making money. The internet was making money. I was the only one losing money on it. So Robert and I went to one of the major tackle show, ICAST, got an appointment with a couple of big companies and said, okay, this is what we're up against. You're either going to have to help us, you know, or we're not going to sell reels anymore. We're just getting out. It's not worth it. It's not worth the aggravation. We can sell rods and lures and the other stuff. And you guys get somebody else to sell your reels online. Because we're selling your reels online, but I don't have an internet store. I'm not making any money off it. We're just showing the people so they want to go on the internet and buy your stuff. Right. So a couple of the companies ended up helping us do Amazon Price Match. So you can come in here now and get the same price as the internet and with all the customer service and the warranties and everything in store that you would normally get without having to pay extra for the internet. But what the manufacturers are finding out is stores like ours are great internet showrooms because people hear about the stuff, but they have no place to go to play with it. And that's what's happening in Gainesville. If you go into a local shoe store, you're going to spend $5 to $20 to try on the shoes.
Right.
Now, if you buy the shoes, you will get that money back, but you are charged money up front just to come in and try on shoes. Because otherwise, they try on the shoes. You can only try on a pair of shoes so many times before they're junk. You know what I mean? Right. Now they're used.
Right.
So you have to pay to try on the shoes. Now, they will deduct that money from the cost of the shoes if you buy the shoes. But
that's pretty good.
That's the only way the local stores are being able to stay in business. Now, Macy's, I heard from a friend, closed down like 30 of their smaller stores. Not the ones in the malls, but the freestanding stores, they close them all up because people go on the internet and buy 12, 15 different shoes or outfits or pants or shirts or whatever they were buying and then take back either all or 90% of them to the local store and say, here, I don't want these. So they're actually getting more returns than they were selling stuff.
Right.
Because it was just too easy for people to order, you know, a dozen, two dozen of whatever it was on the internet, find which one they like, and return the rest.
Yeah.
So, you know, the world's changing, and this is one most stores are not going to be able to compete with. We can do it as long as we would like to.
Right.
In the day we don't want to do it anymore, we just close it up and go home. But we can compete. We can do internet price matching, and we can do all these other things. Most people don't have the availability. But most people don't have four to five people on the floor all day, and the amount of merchandise we have, and the buying power, and all that kind of stuff. So we can compete, you know. But I feel bad. And mostly for the people who still wanted to go to the stores to buy their stuff.
I feel bad for them.
Because with these young people, well, I just buy it on the internet. It's easier. And then all of a sudden they want to go to the store. Let's say a hurricane's coming, and you need to go to the store to get something.
There's no store.
And there's the store's not there.
What? They're not delivering to your area because there's a storm coming.
Yeah. No.
You know,
FedEx ain't coming.
Yeah. FedEx shut down 5 days before. So much for that 24-hour shipping.
Yeah. UPS ain't going to be there, Bucky. You got a bad storm coming.
Yeah.
So, gee, I wish you had that little mom and pop hardware store that you could have gone into and bought some screws and nails and stuff.
Right. It's true. It's pretty sad. It's scary, really.
So it was just weird because we were having a conversation with a guy this morning here in the store, and it was pretty lengthy. I didn't mean to rattle on for 6 minutes about this, but it was kind of funny that we're actually hearing about these college towns where the stores are going out of business and the kids are buying everything online, and then they go to look for something and they can find nothing.
Right.
Because everybody's closed up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird world, and there's... We can survive the next few years, but I don't know about 10, 15 years down the road, not because we won't compete on price or service or any of that kind of stuff. I just don't know if the people 30 and under even consider that going to a store is an option.
Right.
Not that they think, okay, I can get a better price or better service or this or that. They're not even considering it as an option. Like, okay, I can buy on the internet or buy on the store. They just buy on the internet. They don't even think of a store as an option.
Right.
They get their groceries online. They, you know, order food online. Yeah, it's not even a consideration that they should actually go somewhere to buy something.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that would actually put us under, is that one day people won't even think about us.
Right. That's sad.
No, it's just the way it is. I mean, how many stagecoach mechanics do you know?
None.
You know anybody who works on Stanley steamer cars?
Nope.
Steam-powered locomotives?
Yeah, but that means we're just dinosaurs waiting to become extinct.
Yeah, but...
it's kind of sad.
train conductors, you know, all that?
Nope.
No, that... So it's... Not it's reality. It Things is. Evolve and change. I'm not going to like it because... I loved riding trains. I rode trains several times when I was younger. I would literally just buy a ticket and ride as far as I could and ride back. Just, you know, you can meet people and it was a good time. But, so I don't think they had any idea that they didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't like their prices were too high or their service was bad. They were just, the world changed around them. Look at what truck drivers are, over-the-road truck drivers.
Right.
You know, if you're 30 years old as an over-the-road truck driver, chances are you won't retire in that job.
No, probably not.
Because they're going to have self-driving vehicles. You will probably be able to go to the interstate, get in the truck, drive it to wherever it's got to go, and back out. But from, you know, Chicago to Detroit or Chicago, Kentucky or whatever, it'll just be automated. It'll just run down the road by itself. Yeah. Which... I would think it's scary, but I'm not even sure it's scarier than a tired truck driver who's just trying to get home for a holiday or somebody's birthday.
Right.
I don't know which one's scarier. Oh, I'd say most truck drivers are pretty good, but you still got that 10% that are scary as hell.
Yes.
So, anyway, enough about the weird world. Fishing. I'm sorry, guys.
It's all good.
Should we delete that and start over?
No. I think it's good stuff.
Okay. Just one of these weird things, you know, you hear about.
This is stuff that people will have conversations with their children about or their buddies about. It'll go on. It's a good conversation. It wasn't just a senseless babble.
Okay. Well, I never know, because I don't have a lot of sense, so, you know, sometimes I just babble without recognition. So, anyway, like I'm doing right now.
Right.
Okay. Peace River, what's going on?
Peace River. It's starting to do pretty good up there, especially this wind this week. I've had a few customers in. Snook, some juvenile tarpon, a lot of baby redfish, and even a couple of mid to upper end redfish being caught up on the Punta Gorda side of the river heading towards Shell Creek, and even some over there on your side over there around Harbor Heights and north of there. And then the gar have really started to roll around a little bit because some of our wintertime visitors like to catch them just because it's fun. You know, it's a challenge to them. And then way up the river, they're doing really good on some big snook. I'm hearing of some 35 and 40-inch snook being caught up there on big swim baits up Arcadia and above. So it's starting to get a lot better. And this cold front, low tides, exposed some good sandy bottom, made it cooler, so those fish are dumping into some of those deeper pockets and bends up on the river. It's starting to make it a little bit more consistent than what we've seen for the last, 5 months?
Yeah. You know,
it's a good time of year for it, especially with the wind. It gives a places to go to see a lot of stuff.
All right, what around I-75?
Just only heard of a couple black drum there. It's been a little... pardon me. A little.
I don't really know if it's being quiet or it's just not a lot of people stopping there. Because when I go out to head down to the harbor, I go under the I-75 bridge. And every once in a while I see a boat. I think hopefully by January, I think it's going to pick up a bit. But I think some of the older places that weren't real good for a year or two, like this year ought to be great because the water's cool or cold and there's no rain. So I think a lot of these areas are holding fish, but just nobody's there to give the report.
Right. I think so, too. I'll agree with that.
All right. 41 Bridge.
Snook at the mornings all through the night into the evening. Been a few juvenile tarpon being seen, been a couple of trout being caught off the bridge and around the power lines. One guy got one whiting. He got a croaker, an Atlantic croaker the other day too, which surprised me because it's been a little while since I've heard of one of those. And still a few black drum hanging around along with a bunch of baby mangrove snapper. You know, it's been decent fishing. I wouldn't say it's setting the world on fire, but it's at least steady, consistent.
Okay, and God,
it's just skipping hard all over
to believe.
The place.
No, I'm just trying very hard to remember how to spell words.
Gotcha.
Okay, Lashley Pier.
Some small snook. There's been a couple of sheep's head been caught off of there, and a couple of small trout.
Hang on just a second. I don't know why, but I didn't have that one done.
Date
almost, yeah, the day and date thing, because I do different colors for.
I looked at my calendar today and went, holy mackerel, it's the first.
Yeah, it's 12/1. I was like,
geez,
oh my goodness. All right, Lashley Pier.
Some small snook, been a couple of sheep's head been caught off of there, and a lot of mangrove snapper and a couple of trout even being caught now. So it's starting to pep up just a little tiny bit. Been a couple of guys down there in their sewing circle that are down there 2-3 times a week that have been coming in buying their shrimp, so I've been getting a few more accurate reports.
Okay. We got Bayshore Pier almost ready.
Unfortunately, that's going to be all question marks because I got nothing there this week unless you've got something.
No, without the main pier, people just don't like that other pier.
Well, they don't like that other pier, but also I think some of that, the construction around that area with some of those side roads being closed off, I think people just assume that some of that area is just shut down, period. You know, they don't want to have to walk, number one.
Well, what about the Port Charlotte canals?
Port Charlotte canals are doing pretty good. A lot of small jacks, some decent snook to small snook all over the place, mangrove snapper. The Manchester Waterway had a guy catch a bunch of small sheep's head and a couple legal-sized sheep's head in there. And what else? A few small black drum. Guys are seeing some bigger black drum. most of the customers are coming in talking about how to try to catch the snook off of their lights at night, you know, because the water's gotten so clear in the canals that now they're really seeing the fish behind their houses and getting excited about it.
Oh, yeah. There's, I mean, you know, okay, the state says, all right, we're going to close down snook and redfish because there are none. And they don't allow you to see the stock assessment reports. So, okay, we're just going to assume they're lying and really have no interest in what's good or bad. They just right. do whatever politically correct. But this year, everybody's astounded by how many snook there are.
Right, definitely.
I mean, this is, I mean, I would say at least every other day, I believe every day at least one person comes and goes, oh my God, the amount of snook that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's, and the funny part is it's not just, you know, our winter guests. It's the locals that have lived here for 10, 15, 20 years that are talking about that. So it's kind of cool and frustrating.
I don't know what's up. It's, now there is a possibility because of the red tides and stuff, a lot of those snook that were on the deep water reefs or the near shore reefs, Mary's, Power Pole, Helen's, Trembly, Novak, because there's a gazillion snook hanging on those things.
Absolutely.
Maybe some of those fish actually decided to come in, you know, when that red tide was hitting out there, got in around it, you know, hugging the bottom, going through Boca Raton Pass or something.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them could have come in, rather than going out too deep, decided to risk it and come into the harbor.
Right. No, I could see that.
And that's the only thing I could think of, because we weren't seeing this many snook last year.
No, I don't think so.
And I know a lot of them are smaller snook, and they could be year and a half old, and they're just getting up to the sizes now where people are actually noticing them.
Right.
So it could be just a result of last year's hatch that we just see so many fish.
Could be.
But I'm also thinking that some of the fish that were inhabiting the nearshore reefs in the Gulf, because a lot of snook live on those reefs.
Absolutely.
Now, it's an art form to catch them. You got to work at it. You got to figure it out. It's, you know, dropping a bait down. Well, how come I don't catch them there? Well, it's different, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just one of those possibles. All right. Let's go over to the Algemeen Pier. What's going on there?
Well, it's been doing pretty good. There's been more and more trout being caught off of there. Still quite a few small ones, but they're picking up good numbers now. Sheep's head are just now starting to perk up just a little bit more with some more consistency. Mangrove snapper, been some snook there in the evenings and at night. A few black drum also. And then there's been some jacks in the early morning. I think they've swapped places with the tarpon, because I'm hearing about them cruising up and down parallel in the bridge there with some pretty good consistency. And they're like 6 to 8 pound fish. They're pretty nice sized jacks. So people are having a good time with that. Unfortunately, most of the guys that are catching those are in a boat. So
yeah, it's just a lot of them are just on the harbor side of the bridge.
Right.
Just, I mean, where you can go over there fishing from the seawall, but you're not really going to be able to reach it from the pier. Because even if you did hook one up, there's no way to land it coming through all the bridge pilings.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you lose.
Yeah. Tag. You're out. Okay. Mica cutoff, cattle dock, tippy canoe, anywhere like that?
Tons of snook up inside there. And there's been quite a few trout, especially in the north end of the Mica cutoff. I haven't heard much for redfish except for a few rat reds. But the snook and the trout have been by far the talk for everybody. I haven't heard of anything in tippy canoe this week.
You know, one thing I will say, I was right, everybody else was wrong. The tons of small redfish.
Yep.
I was right, they were wrong. They were saying, oh, it's this, and, you know, it's tournaments, and it's this, and it's that. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think we're going to see a lot more redfish this year, especially a lot of smaller ones.
Right.
And lo and behold, sorry, I'm right. The world's wrong.
It's not a bad thing.
Nope.
It's good when you're right with that.
I don't. I'm glad I was right, because if I was wrong, we were screwed.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, yeah, I'm right. Thank goodness, you know, forget the ego and all the rest of that stuff. Just simply, if I wasn't right, we would have been screwed. Our business would have been screwed. We've got to wait till May to catch redfish. But we're going to have a lot of redfish for them to catch.
We got to wait till May for them to evaluate
it. Evaluate it, yeah.
That sucks. That's the screwy part. It's like, we're going to think about it. Gee, really? What's going to take you 6 months to think about?
Whatever. I don't know. If I was living in Minnesota and I was driving down south for the, you know, this time of year, I would swing into Louisiana, catch some redfish, or one of the states where you can catch some.
Right.
You know, even North Florida, you know, north of Tampa.
Right.
I don't know, you know, if you're actually interested in catching redfish, why would you come to Southwest Florida? If you just want to go fishing and boating in a wonderful place, this is awesome here, you know. And if you're not interested, you know, in the snook or the redfish, and a lot of people aren't. They catch trout, we got snappers, we got 20-some species of fish.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I wouldn't blame them, nope. You know. Please come, we love you, we want you to come back. Don't blame us because we have a crappy governmental organization. It's not our fault. Look at where you're from. How many states are people leaving because the government that they have elected there overtaxed them, overburdened them, overregulated them to the point they leave? Now, please do not come to Florida and vote for the same type of person.
Right.
You know, we know that's how you did it up there. But that's why you left there.
Right.
We like, you know, being able to hunt and fish and not have a lot of taxes and not be overly burdened by government regulations. So if you're into overtaxation, lots of government regulations and rules and all this other stuff, stay up north.
Right.
Come and visit and then go back home. That's what the people there like. Down here in Florida, vote for a different type of person than you did when you lived in the north.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, that's why that's why you moved here. So, exactly. Anyway, getting off that, South Gulf Cove.
South Gulf Cove, it's still been some Mayan cichlids and some tilapia to those guys. They've been still doing really well on them. There's been a couple guys catching some snook and seeing some juvenile tarpon as they're on their way out through the cattle dock area. And then one guy was doing good on bass. Way in the back on shiners, he caught a couple small snook, but he caught 10 or 12 bass in the 5 pound and under range, so he was having a good time with that. Well, that's about 6 different reports, I guess, from different people up in there, so it's not too bad. It's starting to pick back up a little bit with some information. That one snook guy, he comes in here every week just by a couple lures because he loves to troll his way out.
Yep. No, we've been lucky. We've been bringing a lot of people. I think, you know, what's really weird is our customer count is unbelievable at this point. A lot of people. What's really funny is how the word of mouth is getting out, because we haven't advertised anything about our remodel and the expansions and new classrooms and the, you know, that we've made the store twice as big and we have, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of dollars more stuff, you know, unless you listen to our radio podcast or something like that. And but how many people have told their friends who tell their friends who are driving in, not because they really need any fishing tackle at the time, but just to walk through and look at it all?
Yeah.
And it's awesome. We have so many people walking around looking at all the different stuff, and they're not really buying a lot. I mean, our sales are doing well. We're selling stuff, you know. It's just really amazing and kind of wonderful that they feel such a part of the store that they want to come in and share in the excitement.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all that's going on. And it's just nice to have that kind of a relationship with your customers and the people who come in the shop.
Just Robert, the community as a whole.
I mean, how many hours a day are you spending right now just talking to people about the remodel and the expansion? I would say 4 to 6 hours a day.
Probably.
You know, showing people around, explaining where everything is, because it's the world's biggest Easter egg hunt at this point.
Oh, jeez. Yes. Yes, but it's fun. You know, it's making it fun.
What did you, where is this? Robert and I were just looking. We thought we had the one room emptied out. I turn around and look, and here's all this stuff that belongs in a completely different section of the store hanging up there. I'm like, Robert, look. He's like, oh, no.
Just as we had it organized, though, there has to reorganize a little bit.
Oh, it's just
pretty
amazing.
Funny.
So, West Wall.
West Wall, let's see, you got trout on top of the bar and on the outside of the bar. There has been a couple of scattered pompano in there, but the reports on them have been super, super inconsistent and all over the place. Snook and redfish up underneath the bushes and moving up into some of those creeks over there also. And then the ladyfish and some small jacks have been kind of moving up and down that whole wall too, mixing in with some of those trout. So little bit of activity over there. Water is super clear. It's been really low, so be careful trying to get to the other side into the trough. If you're going over that way, it should start to stabilize a little bit, but we got another little front coming middle of next week or something, so it might make it a little low again. Just try to pay attention.
Yeah, it's just one of those.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to refresh everybody once in a while. Kind of normal. I forget stuff all the time.
No, I never forget anything. And I always spell everything so good.
Yeah.
Miss a letter here and there. I still get a kick out of the guy at the Fort Myers store going, what does HTE stand for? HTE canals and HTE snook. And I'm like, it's not a secret code. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. All right, Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes has got some ladyfish, some small jacks, a lot of trout, or more trout moving on to it. A couple guys got into a few bonnet heads on it also this week. I've heard of a couple Spanish mackerel and a couple bluefish, and I'm assuming that's what's taking most of these guys' lures because they're coming in and buying those pompano jigs and by the handfuls, and they're not catching many pompano. So,
you know, I was just showing the guy the pompano jigs today because he's talking about this or that. I said, wait a minute. What you're asking for is a banana jig.
Yep.
I said, there was a guy who called himself Silly Willy because he was a bit off. And
you think?
Yeah. So in the 1970s, in I forget which lake it was, but it might have been Erie, but they developed a jig for walleye fishing, and this was a great little vertical jig for walleyes. You could cast it, you could, you know, bounce it up and down, and inadvertently somebody came to Florida and had that jig and said, we'll catch a lot of fish up here or catch a lot of walleye. So they brought it down, they started catching pompano and trout and all these other fish with it. Found it was a very good jig here. And I sold a lot of these banana jigs all the way on up through to the mid-90s. And then the last few packs we had, literally, I think the package came apart and the hooks fell on the floor. You know, the lure. They were just, nobody bought any. And so we quit carrying them. And then this guy who called himself Silly Willy comes in with this banana jig. And he calls it the Silly Willy jig.
Mm-hmm.
And he would walk around and literally go, tie this on, try it. And he didn't mean, you know, try this at a later date. He would stand there until you tied that on your fishing pole and started casting it. He wasn't leaving. He was going to stand there and stare at you.
Yes.
Until you actually put this thing on, took it out, and started catching fish with it. And the thing was, it caught a lot of fish. It just fell out of fashion. The function never went away. It was always a good jig, but it wasn't fashionable. Other styles and types of stuff. And it had been gone just long enough where people had forgotten about it. It was more than two Facebook posts ago.
Right.
So, and I don't think Facebook was out yet at that point.
No, but they get it.
So, that's why they're called silly, crazy, whatever. But they're literally banana jigs. They've been around since the 70s. They're nothing new. It's just, everything old is new again. It's kind of like the environmentalists finding the dead spot in the Gulf of Mexico off the Caloosahatchee. Every few years, over and over again, for the first time, each time. It's,
yeah.
It's exactly. Wonderful. You know?
Exactly. That's kind of funny how that works.
Yeah. Oh, gee, look at this. There's this dead zone here. Really?
Not the same one from 2 years ago? Or last year? Or
5 years ago? Yeah. No. Completely different, brand new one, the same. All right.
Same GPS coordinates, but different.
Yeah, it's just completely different. Bow Bay, Turtle Bay.
A lot of trout. Trout and ladyfish have been what everyone's catching up in there, along with a few snook, some mangrove snapper. If you watch the bushes and some of those deeper spots, they've got some troughs next to the bushes. Guys are catching some pretty good-sized sheep's head in them, too. A lot of guys seeing tailing sheep's head out there on some of the flats. So that's been kind of a hyped-up thing this past several days. You know, and they're good-sized sheep's head. You know, they're 14, 16, 18 inches long. So they're getting some pretty good ones in there. And guys are catching them on shrimp, mostly. Some guys are catching them on fiddler crabs, but a lot of guys are catching them on shrimp while targeting the redfish and the snook underneath those bushes. All the redfish have been small, though. I haven't heard of anything really worth wild over there. Speaking of that, have you heard from Carl at all this week?
No. And I've got some stuff I actually need him for. We got to finish up some stuff. We got to ship out, do stuff like that. You know, is he still with his girlfriend? Or
I don't know. The last time I talked to him was Monday.
Did better than me.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him since last weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I don't know. I had to bring that up because I meant to ask you about that yesterday.
Well, all of a sudden, he gets these calls because, I mean, I think people are figuring out he catches a lot of fish.
Yeah.
And he's fun to fish with.
Really good.
I really enjoy it, and the customers rave about him.
Yeah.
But he'll, all of a sudden, that phone, and then he's booked, and you don't see him for a while.
Right.
But, you know, for a kid who's got that cell phone in his hand or in his pocket on him constantly, he sure doesn't use it much.
Right.
I guess unless you're chit-chatting, but, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Cape Hayes and Danger Reef, just been a few Spanish mackerel on them, a couple bluefish. One guy got into some mangrove snapper, but overall it's been kind of quiet for the bottom stuff right now. I think it's just been right in the teeth of that wind this week, so not too many people fishing it.
Okay, Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound's been really pretty good, actually. There's been some little tiny surface patches of red tide that have been moving in and out of there, killing some occasional pinfish and baitfish, which is making some people leery, but the guys that are sticking around in the bayou and up against Widden Bay there, between Widden Creek and Catfish Creek, sheep's head have been cruising all along the bushes, some trout, a lot of little snook, even a few bigger snook. Been a few bonnet heads mixed in through that whole area. What else? Guys have been catching pinfish there to take with them offshore, so it's not, the red tide's not bad, it's just enough to be a little bit of an annoyance in little patches.
Well, the problem is, you know, in the ever growing, you know, edification of red tide, he really wants to float.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can tell now, I'm telling you, I try and read the studies and everything else, but the problem is, for years now, people only get government grants and government money to do research and studies if you're coming to the conclusions they like. And if you're on board with, you know, oh, this is happening and that's happening and, you know, we're all going to die and the seawater and all this. If you're not on board with all this stuff, you can get government money. And that's the truth of it. It's just they're the ones who hand out the money, and the people who are in charge of the money want this said.
Right.
So it used to be, when you were a scientist, environmentalist, you would go out and go, yeah, we have good numbers of this. This is okay. We might want to watch this in a while, you know, but... And you would give real, you know, and
accurate information.
Yeah, assessments that were accurate and real. But then they found out, well, if that's all okay, well, we don't need to pay you.
Right.
If you go in and say, oh my God, the snook are almost all dead. We're going to be out of snook, and they're going to be gone and extinct, and everything's going to, you know, and it's horrible. Well, here, we'll give you more money.
Yeah.
If you go in and say, well, the snook population is doing pretty good. Everything looks good. Let's just keep checking on it and make sure everything stays good and the way it is. And, oh, well, if everything's all right, well, I guess we really don't need you. All right, we'll call you if we think there's going to be a problem again.
Right.
And they lose their job. That's the way the government works. Or, no, everything's pretty good. The climate's good. Sea levels only come up 8 inches in the last 300 years. Really? Well, okay. You can I renew my grant? No.
Right.
What if I say the sea level is going to come up and drown the coastline out? Oh, we give you money for that.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So
here's my two theories. Do you like this one or do you like this one?
Which one of these can I get paid for?
Right. Which one do I get to keep a job?
Yeah, which one do I get to keep my job? That's great thing about this is we probably aren't going to keep our job, so what the hell, let's say this whatever we want.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
All right, Placida Pier,
a lot of sheep's head have been moving in there with more consistency. A couple of guys have been catching even a few flounder off of it, and then some mangrove snapper, and down the trestle for the boaters, they're actually catching some pompano, a few more flounder, and still the sheep's head are doing really good. Haven't heard of really anything else. A couple small trout, but the sheep's head are definitely the ones that the guys are kind of getting fired up about.
Yeah, I think there's going to be quite a few people taking the boat out because you have those whole sections between where the people can walk out on,
right,
and all that, and you've got tons of pilings and barnacles and stuff you can only get to by boat.
Yeah.
And so they don't get pressure from boats and pier fishermen. You literally got to get a boat in there and do it. And a lot of that almost is becoming drive-by places. They're kind of going to Placida than going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Let's put in there, and, you know, I paid $14,000, $15,000 for that outboard. Ah, let's run it a bit.
Yeah.
You know, my boat will do 60 miles an hour. Okay, we're going that way.
Leave fish to find fish. Drive right past every one of them.
And I kind of get that because, you know, sometimes I'll do that because I want to go fish a certain area or something.
Oh, absolutely.
But if I'm just going out to catch fish and I have the possibility of catching fish very close to the house, I want to do that because it gives me more time to fish.
Right.
Less time to run the boat. If I don't have to run all the way to Bull or Turtle Bay or the Pine Island Sound or Gasparilla Sound, and I can fish at Grassy Point or I-75, that saves me an hour travel time or 40 minutes of travel time. So I can actually get that in fishing.
Absolutely.
So I guess I'm, it's kind of like why we built the seminar classroom out there.
Right.
We have this amazing new classroom and seminar area. And I hope you guys are going to like it as much as Robert and I like it. Because
that's awesome.
We turned the lights on for the first time last night, got to see it, you know, after dark and check out the ambiance. Because at this time of year, a lot of the seminars are going to be at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. So we wanted to make sure it was awesome. Total beer garden.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty killer.
Yeah, awesome. So, all right, Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, trout are starting to pick back up in there quite a bit. Some sizable trout. And the mouths of the canals and all the little islands there around the Stump Pass area, the grass flats, that's been the most productive. There's been some snook over there, some redfish, even some mangrove snapper, but the guys are really talking about the trout and even a few sheep's head that are moving around some of those docks and some of those mouths of the canals moving into that, what is that, Cape Hayes area? Gulf Coast, or, yeah, I guess that's Cape Hayes area.
What are you talking about?
Where those finger canals go in through off of Lemon Bay. Is that Inglewood or is that Cape Hayes area? I guess that would be
around
more
Inglewood. Englewood.
That would be more,
well,
Inglewood.
That's Englewood, because Cape Hayes is Placida, and that's all the way up. You're at Lemon Bay, right? Or,
yeah, but Cape Hayes, Grove City, that's kind of that miserable mile, right? So it's up past that, so that would be Inglewood.
It's got to be Inglewood.
Okay.
Anyway,
just trying to get my verification, you know, my directions right.
Yeah, but you kind of lost me. But I'm gonna say it's got to be Inglewood because,
well, the guys are talking about the fishing the mouths of the canals up in there. So I was trying to think if that was like the Lemon Bay area all the way up into the Inglewood area kind of thing.
Well, Lemon Bay is in Inglewood,
right? So, well, it starts right there, just past Placida.
No, Lemon Bay, you got to go through all that narrow canal, and then it opens up to Lemon Bay. You got the Miserable Mile, all that slow speed from Placida up, that goes where you got to go take the ferry across to Palm Island and all right. that, and then you get up to Englewood.
Okay. All right. So I always thought the Miserable Mile part was part of that part of Lemon Bay.
Well, there's a lot of them now because a lot of the ICW is slow no wake.
Right.
But when you leave Placida, you run up there, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's right there. But I don't know. Let's go take a ride and refresh our memory.
We need to.
Yeah, because we've rode up that way several times and up through. Because I enjoy. I go from here, we go up in Englewood, we get on the ICW, you got a couple restaurants up there in the water, we go a little fishing, we stop, have something to eat, and then we come back through the Gulf of Mexico. Or we go up in the Gulf and come back through the ICW, just to kind of look around, check out where everything is. But, you know, now you got me questioning myself. Okay, the Tom Adams Bridge, the Anger Pier.
Tom Adams Bridge has got a lot of sheep's head on it. Quite a few guys talking about that, fishing from their boats. Few guys are catching the sheep's head from the Anger Pier also, but mostly the bridge itself. Been some snook on both, mangrove snapper, a few trout are starting to act up a little bit better right there too. The better trout seem to be coming around the bridge more than the pier. A few Spanish mackerel have been coming through, and a few bluefish mixed in with them, but not very many up there compared to what's down kind of in the by the passes, I guess. So it's getting better. Water's super, super clear. A guy said that he couldn't get any snook the other night because the water was so clear. Even with his 20-pound fluorocarbon, he could actually see it as he was reeling it up to the seawall there.
I'm not sure that makes a difference.
I don't know if it does either, but he said the snook were just so thick through there, he couldn't get any hits or any follows.
I'm considering more and more and more that our eyes and the fish's eyes might be way more different than I had thought before. Considering the fact that down in 60 feet of water, you use a pink jig or a chartreuse jig, and they will hit one over the other in a lot of instances.
Sure.
So humans can't see the color differences at that depth.
Right.
It be greens or grays or
gray
something.
Or black.
Yeah. But fish seem to hit one color over another, even at that distance, even down that far depth.
Right.
Not distance out, but distance down. So if they can pick out colors there, how are they seeing the rest of this stuff? And does it matter what a human can see versus what the actual fish are seeing? I'm beginning to think that a lot of this stuff is based on the way we see, how we look at the stuff, the fluorocarbon, the mono, the colors, and all this. And I don't think it's really based as much on what the fish actually can or cannot see or get spooked from or not spooked from.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, that's what a lot of that stuff is usually made for us first.
Well, if it doesn't catch a fisherman, I still say if I invented the world's best lure that would absolutely catch fish, you know, every three casts you would catch a fish, and nobody ever bought one, would it still have been the best lure ever made?
Right, exactly.
If nobody ever used it?
That's true.
Did a tree make any noise when it fell in the forest and there was nobody there? You know?
Right.
So, anyway, Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico. It's been a little too sporty out there the last few days to hear anything, but prior to this blow, the guys were going out 10 to 20 miles, mangrove snapper, really big lane snapper, a few porgies, few sheep's head, couple flounder, and the occasional cobia. They are seeing some Spanish mackerel and catching a couple of very small king mackerel out there, but not nearly to the numbers that I would have thought. But now the water temperature is about 70 degrees. I can see the Spanish thinning out, but I would think that the kings would be a little thicker, but just haven't heard those reports at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the biggest thing is most of those guys are catching them on shrimp. Shrimp's been the primary bait on all those snappers out there right now. Even a couple guys catching a couple of legal red grouper out there have either caught them on dead sardines or shrimp. It's been kind of funny because the one guy got a 27 I think it was a 27-inch red grouper, and he caught it on a shrimp while he was trying to catch some of the snappers because the grouper just weren't cooperating.
Well, now, Vinny from our Fish and Frank store in North Fort Myers, and the store is actually, we lease the inside of the building from Engman Marine. So when you're about three blocks south of Pine Island Road, right on 41, you'll see a boat dealership, and we lease the inside of the building. And Vinny sent up a report. It says gag grouper are being caught near shore. You're looking for little deeper holes with some structure south of Captiva Pass. And he's literally talking about 20 foot of water to 30 feet of water. And then all of a sudden you get these little depressions down there as you go from Captiva Pass south along the shoreline, even up into that 15, 20 feet of water. You're finding deeper holes, and there's been gag grouper down in those holes. So whether you're trolling or finding the holes in bottom fishing, trolling along, watch for a difference in the bottom. According to Vinny, it only has to be, you know, 2-3 feet difference, your average water depth, and you're going to find gag grouper, and that's from Captiva Pass south. Okay. What's that?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, the Fort Myers store is actually catching up on their fishing reports. Venice.
They're catching some Spanish off the jetties right there and off the pier. The main thing the guys have been focused on is the sheep's head off the jetties, too. Now, the pier itself has been literally just a few Spanish mackerel and a few whiting. It's been kind of quiet there. But the jetties, a lot of sheep's head moving in. This cold front really seemed to have gotten them fish fired up, where they're more consistent now rather than one day good, 2 days bad. It's starting to be more steady, which is a nice treat finally.
Okay, and that's gonna take, oh shoot, I'm scrolling and I gotta keep with that. Okay. Stump
Pass, there's just been a handful of jacks, a couple pompano and a couple flounder over there. It's been kind of quiet there the last week, but everyone says the water looks good. They're not seeing any death out there.
Okay, how about little Gasparilla?
Gasparilla, a couple guys talked about some Spanish mackerel in there at the beginning of the week, but not a lot of people fishing, I think, because it's filling in so bad out there.
How about Boca?
Spanish mackerel, bluefish, some big ladyfish, and then on the bottom they're getting some mangrove snapper, an occasional pompano, and some sheep's head moving in and out of there. So they're doing fairly well. I haven't heard of anything big through there. I haven't heard of any tarpon or sharks or anything like that, but...
All right, Captiva?
Captiva, that's one place I heard of. Guy caught into a couple of small black tips over there, and then he's also getting some mangrove snapper and some pompano right along the edge of the shoreline.
What's that? That's been hanging over the counter for like the last 10 years. I decided to move it where I could see it.
It's really pretty cool.
The wife is commenting on my decorations for the office. We're actually decorating our little podcast area here.
Actually,
let's see. Redfish Pass.
Got nothing for Redfish Pass.
All right, that's going to take us down to walking the beaches. If you're going to walk the beach somewhere, Minnesota Key,
I've got nothing. The only thing I've got good report-wise has been out at Boca Grande on all of the beaches. Some of the night fishermen have been getting into some flounder and catching them and gigging them. But during the daytime, as you get down to like that First Street area, which is right by the main lighthouse in the center of the island, some snook have still been cruising along the surf line there. A couple of sheep's head, a couple of flounder, a couple of whiting, just kind of a mixed barrage of stuff. And then the closer you get to the pass, it's kind of the same animals. Surprised me, because that guy had a 36-inch snook that he showed me a picture of that he caught right there just south of the lighthouse.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Ponarasa, Sanibel?
I've got nothing.
Okay. According to Vinny in our North Fort Myers store, and they actually picked up quite a bit. I mean, they actually have doubled their customer count in the last month.
Nice.
So they've got a lot of people stopping in there, so they're getting a lot more reports.
Perfect.
They're stopping in talking with Rick and Vinny and Greg and John. And around Sanibel Pier, reports of Spanish mackerel, snapper, sheephead, along with attacks from jacks. And that's the way they put it. They were getting attacked by jacks.
Oh, attacked by jacks. That's like attacks?
Attacked by jacks.
Thought there was like a government thing going on.
Attacks on him. Yeah, there's attacks on Jack Revelle now. It won't surprise me. I mean, that's just how it goes. But, no, I guess the guys down there saying the schools are coming through, and jacks are one of the most vicious fish you've ever seen in your life. For as far as hitting, slamming, popping, splashing, they're just, you do almost get attacked when the jacks come through.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Redfish along the mangroves reported inside of Sanibel, and there's some of the oyster bars between Sanibel and St. James City, and there's a bunch of cuts on the flats down there, and if you can find any of those deeper holes, deeper spots, you're going to find some nice redfish down there. All right, so nice when the Fort Myers store kicks in.
Right.
Coosatchie River?
I got nothing.
All right. And Vinny from the North Fort Myers store, that's at 14531 North Cleveland and North Fort Myers. Tarpon is really good in the Coosahatchee up towards the locks. That's up towards the Franklin locks up there. And there's been a ton of snook around the locks as well. I'm going to assume if they're up by the locks, now this isn't a report, this is an assumption, that around the railroad trestle, the snook fishing has got to be good there too. It's another place Robert and I got to get to. I love fishing that part of the Coosahatchee, the railroad trestle, and up to the power FP&L plant up and through that whole area up there. Just a lot of fun.
Looks like a lot of cool history through there.
Anything from Cape Coral?
Cape Coral, I've got nothing.
All right. Nothing from the Fort Myers gang either. And Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's been really good. They've been getting flounder pretty much scattered all over the place. Not too much from the bridge itself, but all the bushes, the flats, everything. Our shrimper's been keeping me informed of that stuff. The redfish are doing okay. Most of them are in that, you know, barely legal size, 18-inch to 24-inch, so it seems like they're a little bit better size down there than other reports. A lot of snook. And then the trout have been really, really good. And off the Matt Lachey Bridge, you're getting the sheep's head and some trout, along with a few small snook off of there, too. So, overall, and the sheep's head also still, again, cruising the bushes, some of those oyster patches down there. So, if you're trying for the redfish or the trout, don't be surprised to catch a sheep's head as bycatch.
Okay, and that is going to take us... okay, I can fix that one. And fixing that word. Okay. Coming down, that's Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound's been doing a lot better. There's been a lot of trout down there. All on the flats, 3 to 10 feet of water, just fishing some of those deeper potholes, and I don't know what I'd call those big holes, swimming pools. there've been some Spanish mackerel mixed in with them, a couple of small sharks, and then along the bushes, there's been still some sheep's head and the mangrove snapper, along with a few snook and some small redfish. Overall, good mixed variety down there, depending on where you want to kind of focus your catch at.
Okay, Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
Trout and ladyfish is all I've heard about over there. It's been pretty quiet except for the trout starting to pick up.
Okay, that's going to take us over to Burnt Store Two Pines.
Burnt Store and Two Pines, the only one report I had was a guy catching sheep's head and some rat reds up along the bushes there, and he waded in. He walked through that park and started wade fishing. That's the one and only report I got from down there this week, unfortunately.
I had similar reports. I'm going to write it up because I had the same basic reports. Okay. Quick comment. Martin Septic. One of my good friends is having problems with his septic tank. He had another company come in. The county says you got to have this done and that done. And the tank never leaked, never had any problems. He had a weird, some other company come in, messed it up. I said, man, Carl Martin Septics, they'll fix you up. Well, I can't. I just paid all that money for it. Now they want to charge me again to fix what they screwed up. I said, you know, should have asked me in the first place.
Right.
I know he does good work and stands behind it. All right. East side of the harbor.
East side of the harbor. A lot of trout showing up in there on the bar, inside the trough, and on the outside, along with a few bonnethead sharks, especially down by Pirate Harbor. I've heard of some scattered pompano up and down the shoreline on the outside of the bar. Nothing consistent, but be aware and keep an eye out for them. And then a lot of snook and small redfish around all those bushes and starting to move into some of those back farther creeks. So it's been pretty decent. It's just been such low water this week that not a lot of guys got in there to give me some good stuff as far as consistently. The water is super, super clear over there, though. Guy had a picture of a manatee that was right there just above Pirate Harbor, and it looked like it was sitting in 2 feet of water, and he said he was in about 4 or 6 feet of water. It was just perfectly clear. It was a trip.
What I like is the guys who get the waterproof cameras, and they right below this, kind of at the surface thing, and it looks like the manatee's just floating there because you can't, except for this little line, you can't really tell that there's water there. It's so clear.
Yeah.
All right. Getting into Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, Skating Rink.
A lot of jacks in there. Been some snook starting to move in there in better numbers. And then as you get up into Burnt Store Isles, Burnt Store Meadows, those canal systems there, a lot of snook, big jacks, some black drum, mangrove snapper, even a handful of sheep's head being caught way back up in there. So it's starting to go good. I haven't heard of too many trout in there, but they should be starting to with this water temperature. I just haven't had any feedback, so that's just a theory at the moment. But it's worth taking a peek and looking.
Okay, now let's go to Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce de Leon, some jacks, a few mangrove snapper, oddball black drum, and then a few snook coming through. It's not gangbusters, but it's been decent. I just don't understand the weird, inconsistent reports from there, how it's jumbled all over the place.
Well, you know, fishing at ponds, it gets a lot of fishermen, mm-hmm. you know, so it has a lot of pressure. But on the other hand, you have so much water flushing in and out of there. You know, depending upon which way the current is, what the water temperature is, those, and it's a passageway back to the canals and from the canals to the harbor. So as it gets a little bit colder, you get a lot of fish move into that canal going back to get to the warm waters of the canals. And then they go back there, and they're there, and they're not right at the mouth of it anymore. And then as they start getting hot again, they all start moving out, so you have quite a bit of time where that canal is just loaded up with fish that are actually either going into the canals or leaving from the canal system. So as it's been cool now for several days in a row and the water temperature dropped, it stayed down, a lot of those fish are back up in there, and they're not going to be hanging out there. They're actually going back into it,
back into the back and, canals.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
That makes sense.
PGI canals, where the fish are probably at.
Right. A lot of snook of all sizes. I mean, I'm hearing of some 40, 41 inch fish down to 15 inch fish. Just a whole gamut of sizes. A couple guys have been trolling through there, catching some jacks and the snook. Mangrove snapper, a few sheep's head are starting to cooperate back in there, and along with the black drum, both being seen and being caught. So it's been pretty productive back in there. Just all the reports of snook are just dumbfounding.
Yeah, it's actually amazing. Gilchrist Pier?
Got nothing.
All right. And if you're looking on the fishing report, you see Fish and Frank's Fishing Club and what's happening and all that. There is no links to that right now because there is no club going on at the moment, but this is going to change. We are literally within a week of announcing a whole new seminar schedule, the fish club schedule, classroom schedules, and all that's going to happen within about a week. So stay tuned. Same fish time, same fish channel for more updates on everything from our brand new seminar area, the old tiki pub, you know, beer garden. I mean, I don't know what the heck to call that area, but it's pretty cool. I hope you guys like it as much as we do. Alligator Creek Reef.
Alligator Creek Reef has had some cobia on it, an occasional Spanish mackerel. Sheep's head have started to pick back up a little bit out there, and some mangrove snapper. Overall, though, that's about it. You know, no major reports on it. And the cobia have been all sizes, from undersized to legal.
Okay, deep holes in the harbor?
I've got nothing this week. I had one guy jump one tarpon on Monday as he was just drifting through.
Any bait reports?
Nothing.
Okay. Freshwater?
Really good. Crappie have started to pick up really pretty well with this full moon and this big cold front. Quite a few guys out crappie fishing in all the Northport canals and Port Charlotte canals. And then the bass in some of the canals are starting to go into their pre-spawn mode. So there's been some bigger fish being seen and caught in that 5 to 7 pound range, mostly on shiners. A couple guys are catching them on crankbaits and swim baits. And it's the same areas where they're crappie fishing, so. But been doing much better. A couple of guys are still catching some tilapia in these canals, but that seems to have slowed down a little bit the last couple of weeks.
Okay. And tarpon map?
There's nothing this week. I don't know if it's done or not, but I've got that one guy put one fish in the air that was drifting throughout in the 20-foot hole, and that was the only tarpon I've gotten as far as hooked up and consistent, or not consistent, I should say.
Yeah, well.
Be worth looking, but wouldn't spend a ton of time in it. Like to say it's going to be good, but eh.
Actually, up by the Franklin Locks, they say they're catching a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And let's see. The only red dots I got to put those up, so.
Yeah.
All right. This 12/118. Yeah, it's just, sometimes I forget when we get these, you know, the little reports from there, it's just harder.
Right.
And I don't really want to do maps for the little tarpon, you know, the two footers and stuff. I don't really think that's a great idea.
No. It kind of sounded good at first, but yeah.
Well, they move around a lot, and I don't know. We give them pretty good ideas of where they're at here. I'm not sure, you know, pegging them down on a map is exactly the best way to go.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
That noise always cracks me up.
Yeah, well, that just means I screwed up and didn't get the thing. All right, let's see. Sorry about this. Okay, so Robert, your last thoughts?
My last thoughts are is that the weather's changing quickly, but there's still a lot of different fish to be caught out there, from snook to trout to sheep's head. Some of the tarpon still might be around. There's been some cobia around, but as this water temperature drops, you're going to start to get limited to your smaller fish. So kind of take advantage of what you can. And don't be afraid to troll through the canals and give them an option. It's not as prestigious as being out around the mangroves and all the sandbars and stuff like that, but it holds so many fish and the varieties of sizes and types of fish. The canals are pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that. It's surprising how many people want to fish one way. And literally, these are the guys who go out fishing. Because when I'm going out under the assumption of catching. So I fish however I can think of to try and catch fish. I don't have a style or a rig or whatever that's what I use all the time. I mean, I'll whatever it takes. I mean, you know, I don't. You get where you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't understand
no real
that
major agenda. Just want to go out and have fun.
I want the fish to pull on the end of the rod.
Right.
So I'm not so much worried about how I fish. I'm going to fish with a sinker, and this is the leader I use, and this is the bait I use. Or I'm going to free line it, and this is the bait I use. You're interested in how you fish rather than how you catch.
Right. And I think some of that, you know, with that prestige of fishing canals and stuff like that comes from the lack of seeing it on TV or magazine articles. You almost never really read or see where they're fishing in canal systems or anything like that, unless it's bass fishing. That's kind of funny. It's okay to go cast under people's boat docks and boat houses and stuff like that, but God forbid you actually do a saltwater fishing show where you show guys fishing under docks and under boat houses and stuff like that, catching all sorts of critters. It's kind of funny. You know, because it's amazing how much of our fishing situations here are so similar to bass fishing. It's kind of astounding, except for instead of catching just bass by doing that, you're catching 5-10 different species of fish throwing up underneath those docks. But it's just not cool because it's not a mangrove bush. That would be my thought on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've kind of lost everything here. I got to figure this out after we stop. It's okay. It happens to me all the time. I get lost. So, anyway, it's just a little different. One of the reasons you don't see trolling happen much is because it's illegal to troll in a bass tournament. You cannot troll for largemouth bass in any of the bass tournaments.
Right.
Because it's too effective. Your lure's always in the water, 100% of the time.
Right.
That's why they make them cast, because so many bass tournaments were being won, and I mean, we're talking years and years and years, decades ago, by guys trolling. They would put on big crankbaits and go out and troll on the lake, troll around the shorelines, you know, and boom, 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 they're hooking all these fish, catching all this stuff. But the rod and reel guys, you know, manufacturers didn't want to sponsor this because, well, you could have done it with a string tied to your boat.
Right.
You know, it wasn't making a difference if the rod and reel did a big cast. You know what I mean? Because you weren't casting anyway.
Yeah.
You had some way to bring the line in and something to hold it while it was out behind the boat. So you could sell some lures, but it was very limited on the money. So in order to follow the money, they made trolling illegal.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it could. You never know.
It does. It actually does make sense.
But, you know, there's been a lot of that kind of stuff over the years. Anyway, Fishing Frank here, robbing the chair across from me. We've been remodeling the store. Everything's about twice of what it was. And we have what I consider a pretty amazing seminar/classroom area.
Don't forget the facelift.
And we've given this old broad of a store, this old lady that we've been in here for 30-some years, I wish I could get the facelift, you know. We gave one to the store. I think she looks pretty good right now. So stop by, see the new look, check out all the new stuff. We're getting in more and more each day. We're definitely not done with the remodel and the expansion. We're probably about 70% done. We still got a lot of stuff to go. We're working on it slowly but surely. We'll get it all. Thanks for listening. Bye, boys and girls.